You're listening to local programming produced in KUNV Studios.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to ROFL!
The show about motivation and being yourself.
That's right. What does ROFL?
Reach out for love. The show about motivation and
love.
Being yourself.
Being yourself.
How do you be yourself?
How do you?
Let's find out. Hello.
What's up?
How are you?
I told
guys?
You can hear us.
Yeah.
You just can't hear us because the intro is loud.
The intro was really loud. So, did you go to Rebel Fest?
No, I was working.
It was fun.
Was it?
Yeah.
No, I didn't get a chance to go, but it seems like everyone had a fantastic time. So thank you everyone for showing up and showing out and supporting the radio station by way of having a fantastic time and enjoying some community, thanks to the friends and folks of 91.5.
Yeah, hooray. That was awesome. Speaking of events, how was that concert you went to last week?
Oh, I went and saw, me and my best friend Matt, we went and saw the Bridge City Sinners at the usual place. It's like literally the name of the place. It's like somewhere else on a Maryland Parkway. We saw it was, they were the headliners, Bridge City Sinners. One of the openers was Doom Scroll. They were pretty cool. And then there was a band in the middle, and I'm so sorry, I cannot think of who it was. But the whole night of music was fantastic. Bridge City Sinners are fantastic. So if you like, like folk, but punk, but satanic, but gothic, but like swamp witchy kind of thing. I don't know. Like, there's a whole lot of different vibes up in there, but it's like a 5-piece band, and it's singer, guitar, bass, upright bass, actually, fiddle, and banjo. And they just ripped the whole venue to shreds. It was fantastic.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, they're so much fun.
So is it like after parties at all over there when you guys go to those type of concerts?
No, those are just like straight up the concerts. So like, you know, doors are at whatever time. Music starts anywhere from a half hour to an hour later. And then you can just kind of gauge how long it's going to be, either by being like, oh, I know how long this is going to go based on how like long people's songs are, like the artists themselves. Or then it's also by like, okay, maximum anyone's going to play for like an hour, you know, those kinds of things. You just kind of get a feel for it the more you go to concerts.
Yeah, because the reason why I was asking is because I went to my first after party. I went to Anime Las Vegas.
Oh, the after parties at cons are different. I've never been to those.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, they had an after party for your concert too?
No. Cons, like, con is short for convention, not concert.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I meant your concert.
Yeah, no.
Because
you went
to a concert.
I did.
Yeah.
But there's no after parties for that.
There's no after parties for concerts?
No.
In general?
No.
I thought I heard of something like that before.
There could be. I mean, that's not, you're buying a ticket for a show, like you're, the concert is that party. Like if you go anywhere else, there's an after party, but that's not usually related to the concert you just went to.
That's
something else you're doing. Yeah.
Side quest.
Yeah, yeah. That's you side questing after the main show's over. Yeah.
Yeah. The Anime Las Vegas, it had an after party. I've never been to an after party. That was my first one.
Okay. What'd you
And do? My friend and I paid for it, and then we went, and apparently it was like not a good after party. I liked it because there was nothing going on. Like, I was too scared that it was going to be crazy.
You were enjoying that nothing was happening kind
yeah,
of thing? Okay,
honestly,
I understand that.
Because, well, something was happening, but it just wasn't, like, crazy. You know when...
Okay.
Because it was my first one, so I was kind of glad that there wasn't too much
going
on.
Oh, yeah, good, like a good introductory.
Yeah, it was
like,
a good
okay,
intro.
I've been in this space before now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had like a little... I think I mentioned that they had like a little mosh pit in the middle, and then they were like listening to music. Something funny that happened was that we went in and the person who was on stage introducing everybody and talking about his band.
Okay.
Apparently, if you stay there the whole time, which we didn't, but if you stay there the whole time, they had games and like guessing trivia or some type of like giveaway.
Sure.
So my friend and I were asking, we were like, okay, so if you guys are doing a giveaway, when is the giveaway? What do we have to do? Is it like a scavenger hunt? And they said, oh, well, you have to just stay and then you'll find out what the giveaway is.
Oh.
So we decided to stay a little bit longer, and the main speech person on stage, he said, all right, guys, we're about to sing a next song. Let us know if you guys know what this song is called. So my friend was like, oh, let's guess the song. That might be the giveaway. So we wait for the whole song. All right.
Okay.
And at the end, he's like, okay, did anybody know what that song is? And everybody in the crowd was like, oh, this, oh, that. And then he's like, actually, it's just an original song. Check us out on Instagram. So he like plugged himself.
Wow.
It was so funny because of the irony of he knows that people are there for the giveaway because there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah, but the whole anime convention, it was really fun in general. I liked it, but I just feel like there wasn't enough games.
Mm-hmm.
The games at a convention, I feel like, are very important. If you're gonna host a convention, well, I'm not saying it wasn't good. They had a wrestling actually section.
They always do. Yeah, there's a big intersection between weebs and anime or weebs and wrestling fans, and I love that. So I'm all about
it. I actually hated it because my favorite characters lost in the wrestling match. I was okay. What?
You always pick the losers?
What do you mean? No.
Ooh.
Look what happened. If you guys know anime out there listening, they had Inuyasha and Rock Lee losing to some dude.
Oh, like in the wrestling matches, they were cosplaying as characters?
Yeah. Oh. I was so mad.
Hold on. So who like, lost to who?
Okay, I said, who made you my favorite character? Get out of here.
I'm so sorry. So repeat that.
They had Inuyasha.
That I understand. Okay.
Do you know who Inuyasha is?
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with the characters, but now I'm realizing that the wrestlers were playing, like cosplaying actively in the wrestling match.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I understand. Okay.
Turns out they were kind of drunk, and that's why they were doing very
well.
That
sounds about
right. Which made me so mad. That I was just like,
also, like, that's incredibly dangerous. Don't wrestle inebriated.
Yeah, don't
like,
do that. Yeah.
That's a really bad idea. I mean, you're not Rob Van Dam, so don't even wrestle if you're stoned.
Yeah, I don't even know the guy who, like, apparently, I wasn't even there to watch the whole thing. I just came in and I just saw Rock Lee, one of my other favorite characters, the one who never gives up.
But that's, that's why he's going to lose.
Well,
that's why he's gonna
I
lose,
hate that.
No,
I don't want that.
No. See, that's the
I
classic.
Dislike that.
No, see, that's the classic thing in wrestling where you gain tons and tons and tons of sympathy for a wrestler, typically who is more inexperienced, because they're getting the reps in to be a bigger star and be a better wrestler overall. But they're going to take these losses because they don't have that skill yet. But you build that like anticipation and that like fire and that heart of like, that guy, I love this guy. He's putting in that work. He's putting in that fire. He's showing that heart and that passion. And one of these days he's going to knock someone off and he's going to find his groove and he's going to beat the, like,
you see, that would make sense if it was like a regular thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this is a one-time show.
I'm saying this as someone who, if you told me Rock Lee was in a tag match, I'm telling you that who is his partner?
I don't know. I didn't get to watch the whole thing.
Okay.
But it's online, though, if you guys want to
check
it out.
I would assume then that either Rock Lee is going to be the face in peril before either eating the pin or failing at the last moment to break up the pin from his partner who actually eats the pin. But they're definitely losing.
Yeah. And that was a cool feature that
they
had.
Pardon me as I fantasy book this anime wrestling match.
I got so upset. I was just like, why are my favorite characters on the ground?
You would love wrestling, Bosma. That's what I'm telling you. I know you don't like violence and blood and stuff, but
because of this one time when I was younger, I was watching like on TV and there was just something very gory that I saw. And then I was like, what happened to him? And then my friend was like, oh, yeah, this happened. I was like, that has to be illegal. Like, how is that a legal thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The law
upset.
Doesn't apply in wrestling. There is no law other than we're going to meet in the ring about it.
Actually, the whole thing is how good can you take a hit? This is like
actually also true. Yeah, no,
I don't like that.
Like literally,
why would I like that, Wesley?
I don't know. It's kind of cool. I mean, they're not. It's consensual. It's not like
I know, but I don't like seeing people get hurt, even if they like getting
even
hurt.
Even if they enjoy the
it's
hurt.
Just like, what are you doing? Get out of there.
You would not like a wrestler named Darby Allin.
But anyways, I really wanted more games there. The wrestling thing was cool. They had this cool Attack on Titan like floaty thing that you could take pictures with. I thought that was cool too.
Okay.
But I feel like they need more games. Like, the whole reason I go to a convention is to destroy my opponents. TwitchCon was cool. It had
you just go to be
games.
A professional gamer? That's what you do?
That's what it's all about.
Okay. All right, everybody. Now we understand how Bosma's channeling her competitive
spirit. We were talking about competitiveness last time, too.
We were, but now this is healthier because you're not, like, staking people's, like, life or death on it for real. For real, you're just playing games good.
Bro. Okay, we're going to come back to this topic. Why is it that you, when you're playing a game, you're just like, oh, I don't really care about the competitiveness. I just want to play the game. Uh-huh. Is that always?
Oh, no. It's like I'm putting the competitive nature that you have, like, it's good that it's in a sandbox. I enjoy a sandbox of competition, sure.
Okay.
Like, now it's different because if I'm playing against people who play a game professionally, I don't want to play against them.
Because I do.
The thing is you
they're going to beat me, but I want to see how they beat me.
I don't care about them beating me. I accept defeat by, like, loading up the game with them.
Right, right.
But typically in the kind of game that I would play, like a fighting game, you know,
right,
you're destroyed before you can get the handle on anything. You know what I mean?
Well, of
it's
course.
Like I would not want to play against a high level professional player.
That's
I would
so
be
funny.
Like, if I'm going to play with someone and they're like good at the game, that's because my homie plays the game and we're doing some couch multiplayer. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I just look at them.
That's
like,
fun.
It's like a sensei.
I will play 50 rounds of Tekken 3, no questions asked, right now.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I do.
I understand what you're talking about, like, where you're coming from. But in the spirit of the game,
yes.
If you did have to battle someone who's extremely...
Oh, if I had to fight someone who's, like, really, really good, then, like, a cool dog, you'll beat me in 10 seconds. Good for you. Congrats. I hope you had fun.
It's a privilege
to be
even in that situation.
I will offer myself up willingly because it's not that big a deal to me.
I'm okay with it too. I look at them like senseis basically when I'm playing against
but you're
them.
Trying to actually like
be, no not with
get,
them.
Get
well,
on their level
yeah of
though.
Course I'm trying to win. I'm gonna try no matter what.
I never got into trading card games, even though like I've grown up on Pokemon like since Gen 1. I never got in. I had the cards obviously for a little while. I think all of us like our age, we had like a phase for whatever reason that regardless of how much fandom we had for a certain thing, we had like the cards because I had Pokemon cards for a little while. I had Yu-Gi-Oh cards very briefly. And that was really
Did you ever figure out how to play those? Because I feel like when I was younger.
I mean, I knew how to play them like because it's not too dissimilar from seeing the show or playing the video games. But it never interested me enough to play them that way. I far preferred either watching awesome like anime action or playing the Game Boy games because I really loved those. I was enjoying the battles that way, doing like coin flips and player mats and collecting and customizing a deck. And there's a big meta that goes into building a good deck. And it, I don't know why, but doing it in that form didn't interest me as much as like the game is already a thing. Just learn the game.
No,
the
I'm
video
with you.
Game. I would rather just learn the video game than play cards.
You can. The thing that I really love about like you said, when people customize their decks.
Yeah.
There's other people. Like obviously, there's gonna be people who can get better decks than you.
Yeah.
Because they'll have either more money or they have friends that have better cards that they
yeah
add to their
better
deck.
Luck with when they get the packs. Yeah.
Right.
All that stuff.
But what I really love is like when someone just has like an average deck and they're able to just destroy whoever they're. Opponent is.
I saw something. It's gonna take me forever to find it now, but I follow like this funny like Pokemon memes thing on Facebook, and someone shared a screenshot of someone winning like a regional championship in competitive battle
right
with an Articuno that literally only had 4 offensive ice moves, and that was it, which is like literally what everyone when they're 10 and plays Pokemon does.
Right.
And it's just because you can brute force the game. It typically does not work in competitive play. You just don't do that.
Right.
You have like type matchups and move diversity and you think about like all the different stats. No, someone came in with just high powered ice type moves and just killed everybody. And I think everyone just got a kick out of like, dude, someone actually did the 10-year-old brute force strategy in competitive play and it worked.
And was able to win. Yeah, exactly. It's always interesting to see that kind of stuff. Like,
it's so funny.
And it, exactly. Like, there's a humor in it. And then it's like you lost, but like there was this one time my friend told me they went to go to one of those card game tournaments.
Yeah.
And they said that they both basically won, which means that they lost, right? Technically.
Yeah.
So they were like, okay, flip a coin and then let's see who wins. And then the guy was like, you'd rather take a double loss than... then let me win. He's like, yes. That was so funny. It's like, it's not even important, but yes, I'd rather take a double.
I love that when it's like the most like niche contextual stuff. And then it's like, you're really going to do that? And you're like, yes, I am. And then you're like, why would you bother? Because it's just funny because it's so hyper specific. Like we're talking gibberish to like other people that don't do this.
Oh yeah, right.
That's what's so funny.
I'm actually new to all of this. Like,
yeah,
I'm not like I haven't done it my whole life. When I was younger, I didn't play card games. I really wanted to know how it worked.
Uh huh.
But when I got older, a lot of my friends, I realized that I'm a dweeb myself, I guess, because I love this stuff. I'll look into it and then
anything games.
I like simple games though. The only time I play card games is when someone has the patience to just explain it to me, and then I'll know it forever after that.
Uh-huh.
Which I like when
I know
the rules.
My brain shuts off when you're like, oh, we're gonna play a card game, and I'm like, my brain just goes.
That's
like,
I'm not gonna lie.
So bad.
That's me too. I'm not gonna lie. But I have very patient friends that really enjoy and are passionate about the game.
I just play War or Blackjack.
I don't see myself doing D&D though. I don't know.
Like, I'm actually going to be playing D&D for the first time in a few weeks.
How that goes.
It's going to be a mess because I'm brand new. It's going to be, let me think, me and then it's like five or six of us total doing this like starter campaign that my friend is going to DM, and I've never played. He hasn't played in a long time. Another one of my friends has been trying to get a game going and be part of a group, but the last one she was part of kind of just like fell apart. And then we have another friend who, similar to me, not played, interested to see what it's like. So,
well, I heard that like someone makes all the rules for that game and then they start, but you have to like learn the rules they created.
I'm only giving you like what my understanding is without having like spent time.
Right.
With
we
it
don't
yet
have to talk too much about it.
Is basically like you can get like a Dungeons and Dragons, like a book that'll give you like a fantastical scenario.
Right.
And then you have the Dungeon Master who basically runs the game. He's your narrator. He tells everybody, okay, here's your setting, here's your options, what do you want to do, what do you want to roll for, so on and so forth. He's like, yeah.
Games are going to be fun when you know the rules.
Yes.
And then if you don't know the rules, really? For me, wow. I don't like it. I don't like the game. If the rules aren't clear and I don't know how to win and I'm playing, like the Disney game, I literally just played
like
it
if
like
I don't
yesterday
know what I'm doing, it's not fun.
No. Like it was funny because I was so used to Star Wars Unlimited and my friend brings the Disney game and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to build my whole entire setup. I'm going to destroy you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I finally finished putting out my characters,
okay,
he had already won. I was just like, what? What happened?
Oh, okay. I see.
Like, how did you already get 20 points? He's like, well, while you were over there plotting on how you're going to attack me, this is not an attack-based game. This is a points-based game.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, well.
Yeah. Oh, see, you're expecting, like, RTS.
I was expecting, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you
I
were
was
expecting RTS and you had, like, real time. I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Because you have
that
to
would trip
to
me up, too. No, because I'm much more of a turn-based guy myself. Like, I want to be able to, like, really think through, like, my setup before anything happens.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, I wasn't going to attack him until I had, like, enough, like...
You're like, I'm gonna have a plan.
It was a long-term plan. I was making a long-term plan.
Yeah, you were playing... He was playing checkers. You're trying to play chess.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I see.
But it wasn't as complicated. There was that new Disney card game, which I forgot the name of it, but I started playing it.
No idea.
Anyways, regardless of that, I'm sorry. I am so addicted to games. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Before we end, I just wanted to know what's your thoughts on... Actually, I do want to say something. If you guys are studying for a degree plan, this is so random. If you guys are studying for a degree plan and you're like going towards your bachelor's, don't just get the bachelor's. Make sure to plan what you want to do for your master's. If you're trying to get like a job afterwards, then know what job you're going to get. This is just very important information that I feel like not everybody's told. If you want a graduate assistantship, talk to anybody that you know that can help you get that graduate assistantship. And just apply and do your research ahead of time before you graduate. Know what your plan is. And that being said, anyways, Wesley.
All right. No, I'm like just watching. You guys can't see, obviously, but I'm just staring at Bosma. She's staring back at me very intently. Like, no, seriously, guys. Like,
yeah,
I'm looking out for you. And she means it. So I'm glad that we can.
Yeah, I wish it was more readily available. I feel like throughout my whole degree program, no one told me about scholarships enough or opportunities that are after the degree. I just got lucky. I found a job immediately after school. That was it. And that was well based on luck, because everyone's getting a bachelor's, guys. Go make your research, because you got to make sure that you know what your plan and exactify your plan, basically.
Actualize your plan. Yeah, and that's a good idea. If I graduated in spring, then by the middle of fall, I was at this new job at the time at the cafe and moving in with my best friend. So it worked out, but like that's because I knew someone to get into the cafe job, and I had my best friend who I was lucky to have to be able to.
That's how
out.
I feel. So, I feel like it was like,
yeah,
luck
it's
based.
Luck. Like, I'm not gonna try, and I'm not denying my privilege whatsoever.
Yes.
Like,
so if you hear that, if you hear anything, or do anything, or research anything, yeah, make sure to research what you're going to do next.
Yeah, set yourself up for success, because we won't be like me or Bosma, who either knew people or got lucky.
Yeah,
so.
Like literally that was my
whole
entire
degree.
I'm like
going through like stations of guilt in my head, even saying this to people right now. I'm just like, man, I sound like I'm such a spoiled person. But
well, no,
I really
it's
got
really,
lucky.
I mean, we were just doing what we were told, because
yeah, no, seriously.
Yeah, because if I didn't like what I heard, oh, do this degree. Okay, I'll do what I'm supposed to do to survive.
That's literally how I got through school. They're just like, well, if you get good
grades. We trusted our adult figures.
Yeah, we trusted our adults, and then the adults set us up for a future that doesn't exist.
That adults didn't even question it. We should have questioned them not questioning.
Yeah, no, because the issue is like they set us up for if the world was anything like the one that they grew up in.
Right, right.
But they pulled up the ladder behind them. So the future that they prepared us for,
they were right, though. Like, the degrees do matter.
Degrees do matter, and a good education shouldn't even be a matter of privilege. It should be a standard. But set yourself up for success, and like,
focus
on your plan, and don't be afraid to plan, because I was, and
me too, for some reason.
Yeah, I was really afraid to plan because I didn't have a safety net if I failed.
I would make plans, but they weren't the right ones. Yeah. That's what upsets me. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
I should have, like, they obviously get a scholarship. Like, the people were saying that back then, but I didn't really, like, plan getting a scholarship out properly.
No, I did. That was the one thing I did do was, like, in Nevada, I don't know if it's still true, but in Nevada, you have a Millennium Scholarship. So if you're a high school student in Southern Nevada, or all Nevada, I think, and you maintain, you graduate with a certain GPA, then you immediately
get the Millennium.
Qualify and get this Millennium, which you can use towards in-state tuition.
Right.
So I was like, okay, sick. And then I knew I could get federal Pell Grants, because, you know, that's all based on parental income.
Right.
And this is what I was saying before, like a long time ago, about like the tragic fortune of living as like a Section 8 kid and like forced poverty conditions.
Right,
like
right.
My mom being on Social Security disability and Medicare disability my whole life because of her surviving some very bleak medical situations, basically meant I couldn't be poor on paper according to the government, meaning I got full Pell Grant. So full Pell Grant for a 4-year degree plus the Millennium.
Yeah, and it worked out.
Plus the Millennium meant that I didn't pay out of pocket for school until my last semester. And the only reason I had to do that was because I was just cleaning up credits then. I was taking 9 credits that last semester instead of the requisite 12 to get the coverage.
Right.
And I had known all that money was coming. I had managed and budgeted all that money while I was a student. I lived with that and a part-time job and was able to pay out of those combined years of saving to not pay at a deficit for any of my schooling, and basically game the system to get away with a bachelor's degree against every single odd. So
right.
I was focused on that. I was not focused on what you're saying to do, which I wish I would have done at the time. All that to say,
I just feel like because you guys know I went back to school for my music degree, mm-hmm. and this music program, they're so supportive. Like, it's amazing. It's just like, wow, my teachers, my director, everyone's like, hey guys, here's a scholarship opportunity. Hey guys, here's a way that you guys can make money after school. Hey guys, money during school. Wow, look at this other opportunity. Like the Super Bowl, that was literally just an opportunity that was presented to me by my professors.
Yeah.
Like, and they did that for me in my master's program too, where they were like, oh, you guys get to work one-on-one with the public administration, with the nonprofits, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was amazing. I loved that firsthand experience with working with directly with the nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
But I think after, you know, because nonprofits are not for profits,
yeah,
it was hard for me to, you know, like decide what I wanted to do. I feel like when you're doing your program, if you know exactly the job you want, you're doing a good job. If you know exactly what you're going to do right after you graduate and you stick to it and you're not second guessing it,
yeah,
you're doing a great job and keep going. And I believe in you guys. And you guys are going to be those people who are like super passionate,
yeah,
and like focused up, the ones that we were talking about in the last podcast.
Well, I was going to say, like, it even kind of sounds like the way that I'm seeing my own, like, I guess I never enjoyed the idea that like, oh, you're going to have a career. And I'm like, ugh, like I don't want to glorify the job. I just want to enjoy the work that I do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And I
so
feel like,
No, you're fine. It's like I got the degree, and in my last semester, because I was doing my internship in the degree at the radio station I work at now,
right,
I got to see like, whoa, this is an option. This is cool. This jives with me. There's a job where you can be the person that puts the music on the radio. I love that.
Right, right.
And then I told that to the GM at the time, and he was just like, dude, that's like a top of the line job. And I was like, okay, that's cool. So you're telling me that's like a long term. And he's like, that's a long term. And I was like, okay, cool. So let's do ground floor.
And it's okay if you like have a plan.
And I'm here. So
exactly. You know, and you made it to,
yeah,
where you wanted to go.
Yeah. Well, I'm making it. I'm like in the process of making it is the way
but
that
you're,
I...
Yeah, but you're still passionate about it.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's what, like for me, it was like I lost my passion. I had a goal. I had a plan, and then I just lost the passion, like the analytics.
I don't blame
you. I could be making over 100,000 right now if I stuck to it, but I decided to go back to school and just start fresh. I was just like, nah.
Yeah.
I don't see myself doing this in 10 years. All right, I'm gonna go back.
No, good. Do it. Bosma had seen me and another student in here before we started recording, and I was giving the student the advice of like, no, take care of yourself, prioritize like self-care and like self-love, and do whatever you need to do to like work smarter, not harder. Like, you're not being selfish or silly or any kind of a bad thing or a problem or a negative of any kind.
I agree with that.
If when your whole goal is being aware, wow, I'm doing a lot. It's too much. I need to slow down, move some things around, take things off my plate, you know, reprioritize, take a pause. And I was telling the student a piece of advice I'd gotten from a professor here in this college,
right,
which this is going to sound funny, but he had told me, go for the low-hanging fruit. Basically meaning, don't overexert yourself when that's not necessary. Like in school, read the instructions, engage with the material, be creative when called for, but just answer the questions, read the directions, answer the questions. More work for you is more work for a professor, is more work for whoever you work around in a team environment. So it's not a bad thing to work smarter, not harder, because you're not trying to make mountains out of molehills to either be impressive,
right,
or to try to like, oh, I have to be a certain thing or ascribe to some weird value system that's just like essentially perfectionism without using that language. Don't worry about that stuff. Take care of yourself.
See, I agree with half of that. I say get the low-hanging fruit and then work your time. And when you're able to, when you are able to survive, like as soon as you get that low-hanging fruit, go back to school or do something else. Go back to that high-hanging fruit and take your time.
And that's what I'm saying too. Like if you're going to go for the high-hanging fruit, realize that that's
a long-term
goal.
Right.
Like that's a process. That's like you're climbing a, if you're climbing a tree, this is hopping up off the ground compared to learning how to literally climb a branch. You know what I mean?
Right. I love this podcast.
It's fun. Bye, okay. Everybody.
Bye, guys. Have a great day, and we will see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for watching ROFL, Reaching Out for Love with Bosma Maria.
If you want to check us out, please go to Bosma T at Instagram.
See you guys later.